for Sunday school. Praise the Lord. Lord bless you. I just want to say that, you know, I'm really proud of our little worship team here too. I thank the Lord for them. I thank the Lord that they're willing to serve in that capacity. And I tell you what, did you notice they're not afraid to worship the Lord? Huh? Did you notice that? We should never be afraid or ashamed to worship Jesus. Come on, people. Get excited about the Lord. I'm excited about Jesus. Well, since you're going to be that way, I'm going to read this anyway. This is by a gentleman, got a ministry by the name of Samuel Key. I thought it was interesting. I came across it this week. The church is called to be churchy, so deal with it. He says, I'm sitting in a donut shop. I've been here many times and nobody has ever complained about the place saying this donut shop is too donutty. It's a donut shop, so you expect it to be donutty. No one ever said that a sporting event was too sporty, a library too booky, a concert too musicy, an airport too plainy, a home too homey, a college too schooly, or a hospital too hospitally. Yet I hear all the time that your church was too churchy. But what else should it be? Why the double standard? Why do we condemn the church for being about Jesus, your soul, God, spirituality, conviction of sin, heaven, hell, salvation, righteousness, and judgment? We surely don't complain about a donut shop, often with Boston cream, cinnamon buns, apple fritters, cream sticks, jelly-filled glaze, and blueberry cake. Because some churches are listening to this sort of cultural critique, it's gotten ridiculous. Since some churches actually believe that they should not be churchy, they try to hide their spiritual donuts, if you know what I mean. Participants can attend, be fairly comfortable and entertained without being confronted with too many spiritual matters. Then right at the end, a little Jesus has slipped in. But that's not like going to a hospital or to have the doctors and nurses pal around with you, never addressing your physical condition, but right at the end when you're about to go to your car, some nurse aide slips a little medicine in your pocket with an apology. At this time, you needed surgery and an IV, but they were afraid of offending you. They were afraid to tell you how sick you were. They didn't want to appear intolerant because they were the only ones in town with the cure. The church does nobody any favors when it refuses to be churchy. The church needs to be churchy, and it must stop apologizing for doing so. I will never convince you of a goodness of something so long as I hide it from you. Church, do not hide your scriptures, your sacraments, your worship, your preaching, your service, your call to repentance, your lament, your urgency, or your joy in Jesus. But what if non-Christians don't like us? I hear. If someone doesn't like us, then that's no reason to change who you are. If you're a jerk, then by all means, stop being a jerk. But don't stop being the church. Those who don't like us much must not dictate who we are. That's like allowing a blind man to lead a seeing man through the gauntlet. If the church really can see, then she must lead the way. She is to dictate the culture, not the reverse. She is to tell the media what's cool, not the opposite. The church is to set the trends, refusing to be a flea on the back of a dog who merely sucks life from another organism. Have you ever endured the cruelty of this world? Have you ever seen evil face to face? Are you aware of how dark life can get? Have you held a man in his brokenness, wiped the flood tears from a tormented woman, looked into the hopeless eyes of a child? Stop messing around and get to Jesus as fast as possible. Jesus is our only hope. Jesus is the cure, the feast, the joy, the solution, the meaning, the purpose, the hope, the life, and the way. To display Jesus is to be the church. So stand firm, be churchy, be Jesus-y, be the light of the world. Isn't that good? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And with God's help, that's the way Crossfire Assembly will be. We're going to preach the gospel. We're going to worship Jesus because we're not ashamed to do that. We're not ashamed of the word. We're not ashamed to say we love Jesus. We're going to do all those things. I don't have time to entertain, and nor do I want to, because people are going to hell in the world, and there's people who are hurting and crying and dying, and we want to be one of the churches that God has to get the word out. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. You're saying, boy, I'm glad he's done preaching already. I'm not. That's just an appetizer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Just reverently bow your heads and let's, together, united as the body of Christ, just worship the Lord right now. Do it out loud. Do it. Use your tongues if you speak in tongues and just do it. I believe, I just sense in my spirit that we are supposed to be praising the Lord right now, worshiping. Lord, we worship you. We praise you, Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor. We magnify you. You are a mighty God, an awesome God. And we love you, Lord. We praise you, Heavenly Father. We glorify you. We worship you. Glory to God. You're the God of the impossible. You're a God of love, of grace and mercy and kindness. You're a just God, a righteous God. We worship you. We look to you, Father. And Lord, we're not here for us. We're here for you. And we worship you, Father. And now, Lord, we commit this rest of this service to you, Lord, and that your anointing be upon the service, upon your word, that it will touch each and every life here this morning, Father. And Lord, we're not here by accident, but we're here to be growing in you and disciplining our lives and learning to live for you and to be a salt and light in a dark world. And we thank you and we praise you for your written word, and we thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. My message today is how to conquer habitual sins. How to conquer habitual sins. Regarding our battle with the flesh, as all the habit patterns that we have developed over the years to meet the needs out of our own resources. And so this morning I want to talk how to fight the flesh and overcome sin tendencies in our life. And I'll be speaking mostly from Romans, the book of Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 17. And as we look at this chapter, we will discover that the emphasis is upon the Holy Spirit. It's going to be upon the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in my Bible is mentioned 19 times in that one chapter alone. 19 times. So it stands to reason that in order to live a free life, or a life free from old habit patterns and sins that try to enslave us, we must have a dependence upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The one who's sent by Jesus to help us live an overcoming life. And we have access to the power of Jesus through the Holy Spirit to become overcomers from demon influence and the spirit of this world. And you know, we got the, Bob mentioned that we've got Teen Challenge coming here February 15th. And working with Teen Challenge for 7 years, a lot of these people are at the depth of whatever they're involved in. And in any kind of sin you can imaginably think of, these people are affected by it, broken homes, you name it. And these young people, and not necessarily young, the older people in the group too, are fighting a spiritual warfare. They've developed habits through the years, and they're struggling hard. And I'm excited when they get here to see how God has delivered them. Amen? And there's maybe somebody in here this morning that you need deliverance too. Maybe you need some habits broken in your life that you need help with. And we have that access through the power of Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." I like that. Galatians 5, 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty with which Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called on to liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So what we're looking into this morning is how can we walk in daily freedom from sinful habit patterns by depending upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Question, why is it a problem for us to gain victory over various sins we might have? And the answer invariably lies in one word, control. Control. Who do we want to be in control of our life? Who do we want to be in control of our life? Remember a couple of weeks ago, I spoke on Jesus being Lord of our life? Who do we want to be in control? We really only have three options in this area. God of the Bible, ourselves, or Satan. Who do you want to be in control of your life? Sin is a choice. Satan cannot make anyone sin against their will. No matter what, if you hear somebody say, the devil made me do it. The devil can't make us do anything. Don't be afraid to say amen, too, if it's sitting there and you're inside and you say, boy, I wish I could have said amen there. You go ahead and do it. I won't get scared. But I tell you what, it says in James 1:14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. That's how it happens, according to the Word. We choose who will be in control of our mind, our will, and our emotions by daily, seemingly insignificant decisions that you and I make ourselves. How can I overcome sin tendencies in my life? How can I do that? Whether it's worry or fear or lust, overspending, anger, control, drunkenness, gambling, doubts about God or the like. How can we overcome those tendencies? It says in Romans chapter 8, 1 through 3. And this is, again, speaking of life through the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. So these verses show us steps we can take to break our sin habits. Step number one, don't allow your habits to direct you anymore. Don't allow your habits to direct your life anymore. Romans 1:1 says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Did you hear that? He's separated unto the gospel of God. Our flesh, our old habits, would try to dictate to us to follow in the old patterns that only led into defeat. But here we are told not to walk after those commands, rather to allow the Holy Spirit to direct us. So how do we do that? How do we do that? When we notice that we are beginning to live according to the old habit patterns we have developed in dealing with our problems. Did you know that Christians, many times when God will deliver somebody from a certain thing in their life before they're saved, and then when they get saved, God brings them out of the habits or different sins, but down the road, for whatever reasons, some Christians go back into those habits and sins? We're leaky vessels, aren't we? We're leaky vessels. The Word of God gets in us, but when we're mixing in with the world all week long and all the influences that are going on, they have a tendency to make us forget what God says sometimes too. And we got to stay in the Word. That's why we got to, when you come to church, we're going to have church. We're going to preach the Word of God. No matter if anybody gets mad, I'd rather have you mad or glad. Amen? Mad or glad. I don't want you comfortable. I want the Holy Spirit to convict me and to convict you if we need it, to guide and direct us to where he would want us to be in life. As his grace and mercy is flowing through us, we still need his direction through the Holy Spirit. So how do we do it? We need to stop and listen for the voice of God, and we need to quiet ourselves. And our flesh doesn't like that, does it? We don't like to be quiet. We don't want to have to listen. It takes patience and trust and endurance to stop and listen to God. Your flesh will scream out, "We have got to do something now." You ever fought that in yourself? I've got to do something. But you will never hear God's voice when you're listening to your own thoughts. That's why it's important to be in the Word too. So you get God's Word in your heart. So you can hear the Holy Spirit recalling it to you. The first step to hearing from God's Holy Spirit is to quiet ourselves, to listen. And this means that we must quiet our flesh, our tendencies to try to solve everything our way and not get ahead of God's leading. Don't allow your old habits to direct you anymore. Begin to listen to God's voice when He speaks. And in step two, stay in step with the Holy Spirit. It says in Romans 8:4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Did you hear that? To not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How do I stay in step with the Spirit? Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And again, walk referring to our lifestyle, how we live our life. But God is calling us to walk in the Spirit. But if we're going to walk in the flesh, what are we going to reap? The things of the flesh. We stay in step with the Holy Spirit when we make a willful choice to do things God's way and not our way. And I see that many times in Christians too. They want it their way and not God's way. What does God's Word say? That's the one we are led by the Holy Spirit to help us. What does the Lord say? Because see, God knows the right way, doesn't He? He knows the right way. And many times we find ourselves in situations and habits because we chose to make the decisions ourselves and live the way we want or live the way our peers are around us. And they have more influence in what the Holy Spirit wants to speak into your life to avoid certain things, that you can live the way according to the Word of God, to walk in the Spirit. We stay in step with the Holy Spirit when we make a willful choice to do things God's way and not our way. See, too many people are looking for excuses, but as all we need to do is go to the Word and see what God has got to say about it. If there's something in your life and you've got something going on in your life and you're saying, or you're trying to make excuse for it, and you just sense there's something there, it's not right, but you're still trying to justify it, you need to make a willful decision in your life. What does God say about it? And do what God says. Amen? That's what we need to do with the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit operates salvation and He operates sanctification in the believer. And I guarantee there will be times that this will cause inner conflict because the Holy Spirit will do things different than our old habit patterns, won't He? And why? Because when God does something in our lives, He makes it clear that the answer come to us in the way that it can only be God. We're going to know it's God that's working in our life according to His Word. We stay in step with the Spirit by applying a little known principle found in Ephesians 4:3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And how do we keep ourselves united in the Holy Spirit? How do we do that? The Webster Dictionary says unite means to join together, to become bound together. And marriage is a good example of that. To be bound together. We stay in step with the Holy Spirit when we make the decisions to daily unite with the God of the Bible and in prayer. We do it through the Word of God. That's why it's important to be in the Word of God and to be in prayer, because then you're in unity with God in the Holy Spirit when we do what the Word of God says. We stay in step with the Holy Spirit. It means to start your day with your mind and your will and your emotions submitted to the Lord. That's how you start your day. Completely yielding your thoughts and your attitude to the Lord and walking with God. See, if you wake up in the morning and you put your feet on the floor and you say, "What a rotten, scummy day." Not a very good attitude to start the day with, is it? But if you can, with the help of the Holy Spirit, even if you're walking through situations and problems, and you can get out of bed and put your feet on the floor and said, praise the Lord, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I rejoice in it, and I'm glad. Different attitude, isn't it? It'll set your day, your tone differently, and maybe by doing that, it might help your emotions and help you to overcome certain things in your life, too, when you develop a better attitude and habit in how you speak to the Lord in the morning with your emotions even. But to wake up in the morning and say, praise the Lord, is better than waking up and say, oh man, it's a lousy, cloudy day today, huh? It's like I always tell everybody, well, the sun's still shining above the clouds anyway. Step three is found in Romans 8, verses 5 and 6. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. How many want life and peace? Then we need to be spiritually minded, don't we? We need to think God thoughts. We need to think God thoughts. When we try to live for the Lord in the flesh, we are living outside of the Lord's prescribed order, people. See, Satan can't force us to sin and to do things, but he can deceive and lie to our emotions and our minds and our feelings. He can influence those, but he can't make us do any of those things. And sometimes it's not the devil, it's our own lust, our own desire to want to do what we want to do. But if we are carnally minded, it's death, Scripture tells us. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. When we try to live for the Lord in the flesh, we are living outside of the Lord's prescribed order. When we live in the Spirit, doing what the Spirit desires, then we walk in victory. Boy, I love that word victory, don't you? I want to walk in victory, and I have to learn to do according to what God's Word says. And the only way I can do that, people, is I need to read the Word. We need to get rid of what I call stinking thinking. Stinking thinking. I'm talking about allowing the flesh to control your mind. Stinking thinking would include negative thoughts about yourself and others, critical thoughts, judgmental thoughts, anxious thoughts, lustful fantasies, impure thoughts, vengeful thoughts, and you can go on and on and on with a list of them. The Bible tells us how to get rid of the stinking thinking. And our Lord always has the answer, Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And it must break the heart of God when he hears, especially pastors, that compromise their walk, compromise what the word, when they stand behind a pulpit and use curse words. To give, the, I don't know, give shock value or whatever they're trying to do. But you know something? We're not to be conformed to the world. I don't have to talk like the world. I don't have. God delivered me from that when I got born again. When the Holy Ghost came in and he made me a new creature in Christ. And he took away that desire. He took it away by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's still working on me too, by the way. You all knew that anyway, right? Thank you. Got one hand. Thanks there, Arthur, I appreciate that. Humble service in the body of Christ. Until we learn to renew our minds and allow God to help us change our way of thinking, we're never really going to know what God's will is for our life. And a lot of Christians never do. You know, the first thing they'll do is when things aren't going right, they'll make an excuse why they don't want to serve God anymore, and they'll want to walk away or not go to church, or they won't want to read their Bible, they won't want to pray because they're looking for a reason, because they're not following the Word of God to begin with anyway. They're not doing what God says to do. Maybe it's not cool. Maybe it's not hip or whatever it is. But who cares what the world thinks? Maybe we wouldn't have as much misery in our life or bad habits and sinful lives, and I'm talking within the church, if we did what God's Word says. And I'm talking about myself too. In areas of life. Because as we go through life, sometimes we find ourselves, you know, we got to work hard to stay on the track. And it's a work in progress continually. But maybe Christians, if we would stop making excuses and we would live according to the Word of God, we wouldn't battle with certain things in our life either. Amen? It's true. Our renewed minds were once blinded by the god of this world. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the god of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. See, now our minds should be and can be in harmony with and guided by the mind of Christ. And you want to know the mind of Christ? Do you want to really know what the mind of Christ is? Here it is right here. Here it is. It's the Word of God. It's powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And it can cut where no man can get to. No psychiatrist can get in to where the Word of God can. If you have a habit in your life or a sin in your life that you're still working, let the Holy Spirit do the work and give you the strength to get out of it. But it's got to be done through the Word of God, because the Word of God knows how to do surgery in my life and in your life. Amen? Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I need the Word of God. See, God begins the work of changing us into the image of His Son by speaking to us by His Holy Spirit through His Word. When the Spirit of God speaks and we learn to listen, then we will begin to change the way we think. We will begin to make decisions based on God's will and not our old habit patterns. How do I change from stinking thinking to God-pleasing thoughts? Again, God's Word tells us how to renew our minds. In Philippians 4:8, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. What a great list. If you're struggling with a bad attitude and bad thinking, boy, I tell you, take Philippians 4:8 and read it. And say, Holy Spirit, apply that to me. And where there's a negative thought coming into your mind, change it around and put one of those words in there. Amen? If you're struggling with impure thoughts, then you need to read the Word of God and think on things that are pure and righteous. And I tell you what, it's worked for me too, because we all struggle with thought life. And anybody in here says you don't, you're lying, because every one of us got minds and the enemy is working on us continually. I don't care if it's a negative attitude, it's a judgmental attitude, a critical attitude, a sinful attitude, whatever it is, the enemy is working on our minds, and we need to take this into practice. And something I practice when the enemy tries to come against me is I speak the blood of Jesus Christ. Because if I'm speaking the blood of Jesus Christ while a negative thought is trying to come in, it makes it a lot more difficult, because the Bible says in Revelation that I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. And if I can't get it on my own thought process, then I'll just simply say, Lord, I speak the blood of Jesus over my mind right now. I don't want to think bad thoughts. I don't want to think negative about someone. I don't want to think unhealthy thoughts. I want to think right thoughts. Lord, I speak the blood of Jesus, and He gives me the victory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You don't have to let these things control you. And here's the truth, how we think. That shapes our mind, our will, and the emotions, and our character. You think on lies, you begin to live lies. I should probably send that to Washington. Let's see. Think dishonoring thoughts, you reap dishonoring actions. Think on impure thoughts, begin to live an impure life. Think on God's truth and His promises, begin to believe in God's power. Think honoring thoughts transforms your marriage. Did you know that? And think pure thoughts and live free from sexual addiction and so on. I've known young people that I've ministered to through Teen Challenge and even within the church that were addicted to pornography already and just had a horrible time trying to break it. And the way to break it is to begin to do what God says in His Word, Philippians 4:8, and other areas of the Word. You give people the Word and you mentor them in the Word of God, and Jesus will set them free and they'll have liberty. He'll break them. The Word is, God is powerful. And we limit it so many times. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Matthew 12:35, a good man, listen to this, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. I like that. But listen to this. And an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. Mark 7, chapter 7, verses 20, 23. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man proceed, listen to this, out of the heart of man proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, defile the man. All of those things. Each day, ask the Lord to reveal your stinking thinking and set your mind upon the Spirit of God. And these old sins, over time, they're going to disappear. You're going to get victory over them. And remember verses Romans 8, verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's why I don't like to see the culture of the world coming in changing a church, because we're not to be carnally minded. We don't use carnal things to get carnal people. We use the Word of God to be spiritually minded, not be ashamed of who you live for and is Lord of your life. You speak it out. Remember I said that? You tell somebody that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life. You need to speak that out to a lost world. You need to tell somebody that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, and you'll have more victory out in the world too, and they'll have less influence on you. Because who is Lord of your life? Is it you, Satan, or the Lord? Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. Step four, learn to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 12, 14, Paul tells us the truth here. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I like that. Praise the Lord. I'm not ashamed, people. In here or out and beyond these walls to tell people that I live my life for the Lord Jesus Christ. If somebody comes up to me and wants to tell me a filthy joke, I stop them in their tracks and I say, don't tell me that, it's a filthy joke. Is it a filthy joke? They say yes. Then I said, don't tell me. And I say, would you like to know why? Would you like to know why? That's an important thing to do, to be a witness, not to show off or to make yourself better than anybody else, but you want to witness the Word of God into a lost soul. And I tell people simply that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. I used to be that way, but He's changed me and I'm no longer that way. I'm no better than you are, but I don't live my way that way. We need to speak out in this dark world. We need to be a church that's active in the Word of God and get rid of the bad habits and the filthy sin if we're carrying any in our life, in order to be the church that God has called us to be. Amen? Jesus is coming, and He said He's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. That's what He's coming for. Praise the Lord. See, if you're addicted to smoking or drinking or anything like that, the Bible says you're under no obligation to smoke or drink. You can dictate to your flesh and tell it no. I picked those two out because they're pretty common. I'm not afraid to say it, but they are. They're pretty common. But you're under no obligation to do those things whatsoever. If you're in here and you're born-again Christian, filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're blood-bought, your sins are forgiven, you have the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to say, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I will no longer do those things that are destroying my life. I didn't say they were sin, but they can be or they can't be, depending on how you're using them. If you have an habitual pattern of being addicted to pornography, and the sexual urges just seem to be overwhelming to you, so that you want to give in, you're under no obligation whatsoever to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. Did you know that? You have the power through the Holy Spirit that God has given you to say, no, I shut it off. I turn it away. I throw it away. I will not do it. God will help you and I to live victorious lives as we take the Holy Spirit into our life and we literally use that to overcome these habitual habits and sins in our life. Does anybody in here know anybody that's living under that kind of stuff? You need to tell them the word of God. You need to go to them and say, hey, you don't need to do that. You know something? The worst thing you can say is that you can tell Jesus, he understands. He understands. He'll forget. You know something? When we use excuses, we're not going to get victory. Did you know that? When we use excuses for things that we know are damaging ourselves, our family, or whatever, we're not going to get victory if we're looking for excuses. God said that he has given us the power to become the sons of God. He's given us everything in his word, the weapons, and that's a whole different, and I'm going to preach on spiritual warfare too, but weapons to overcome every area of our life, every area. If your sin is anger and you just always seem to blow up and you can't control yourself, you're under no obligation to your emotions whatsoever. You don't have to be a slave to your own outburst. And I know what some people are thinking right now. Oh, yeah, sure. You know, I really think it's, you know, I don't know why this scripture in John, in the book of John, I believe it's the adulterous woman that she was being accused of adultery and everything. And Jesus said, those be without sin, cast the first stone, and going on. Anyway, I like what Jesus said. He says, I don't condemn you. But what did he say to her when she left? He said, go and sin no more. I don't know why. That's a good one. And you say, only if it was that easy. I've tried and I've tried. See, that's the problem. You're trying in your own power, people. When you and I do that, it says in Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Praise God. What an awesome promise, huh? You're not bound to anything in your life, bad habits or sin or anything, with the help of the Holy Spirit. It said it right here. That we shall live if we mortify. That means we subdue the body, its needs, its desires by self-denial and discipline. We can overcome.